This conference is being recorded.
Oh, good. Now we can't talk.
Now we got the noise connection too.
Mhm. Yep. Okay. Now we all have to be careful what we say, because you know, blackmail and all that good stuff.
Well, I'll hang up and dial in again. If I lose everybody, we'll see what happens.
All right. Fine. Everybody else still here?
Right.
Yep.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
That may fix the problem. When he comes back in, then we'll see.
Yeah.
So let's see. We've got Maria and Les and who else?
Kyle's on here.
Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
And
Chris.
That's about all.
Yep,
cool.
That's about it.
And Chris Danielson and no Mike.
Uh-huh.
And no noise Mike on the line.
Well, now, Chris Danielson, how are we, since I go by Chris, should I stick to Christina for clarity on the conference call?
I guess so.
Mike Freeman.
Yay.
Hey.
Okay.
Ooh, and much better. Much better.
Did you call back on your cell, or did you call on a landline?
No, this is still my cell.
Okay. It was just one of those things. It's a lot clearer now. That's strange. All right. Well, Mike,
you and I'll mute, huh?
Well, no, you're fine. I was going to ask if you wanted to go ahead and get started, or if you wanted to wait for anybody else.
No, I think all is sure is going ashore, so let's get started.
All right, sir. I'll let you introduce me if you want.
Well, guys, we have on here Chris Lawrence, head of the Greater Seattle Chapter, President Maria Bradford, President of Inland Empire, that's Spokane. We have Kyle Parrish, President of the Clallam County, that's Squim, Port Angeles, etc. And Les Fitzpatrick, who's President of Clark County Chapter, that's here in Vancouver, which is right across the Columbia from Portland, Oregon. And Chris Danielson has worked at the national office in various capacities. I don't quite remember, what he did before, but I've seen him. He was heavy into blind law for a while. He's a lawyer by profession, and he has been detailed and has been very kind enough to take part of a Sunday afternoon out, especially on Eastern Time, to brief us on the effort to sell more coins. To put it very the summary I've gotten is we're about at the break-even point, and now we have to make with the full court press if we want to make any real money to fund the Braille literacy programs from the sale of the coins. But I'll let him explain that further. Go ahead and do your thing.
Okay, thanks very much, Mike, and thank all of you for joining us for taking some time out of Sunday afternoon to work on coin sales. Everything sounds pretty good, so I don't know if there's any need for folks to mute unless you just want to. And of course, you can unmute and come back in at any time if you have any questions for me. What we are going to talk about this afternoon is just briefly, I know all of you know the history of the coin. The coin was created because of a law that was passed in 2006, and that was a law that was passed at the urging of the National Federation of the Blind, and everybody said, we can't do this. You guys will never get a commemorative coin law passed to get Louis Braille on a coin, and we did. So we've done the impossible before, and we can do it again. So pursuant to that law, the Mint released on March 26th of this year the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. And you guys will remember that when it was released, we had a large launch ceremony in Baltimore. Some of you may have even been at it. And we also had we released a report on the Braille literacy crisis, and there was a major Associated Press story published about that, which appeared in newspapers all across the country. And some affiliates had events to coincide with the launch of the coin. So with all of that, the coin sales got off to a pretty good start. Also, on that day, NASA announced that they would fly two of the coins on the space shuttle. And they did fly on the space shuttle mission STS-125. That was the Space Shuttle Atlantis mission that went to the Hubble Space Telescope. You'll remember that got a lot of news coverage, and when those astronauts made several repairs to the Hubble Space Telescope. And so all of that has gotten us a good deal of publicity. And as a result of that, the coins sold really fast at first. And so now, a little over 179,000 coins have sold out of 400,000 total. The law that authorizes these coins says that the mint can strike 400,000 of them, and the ones that do not sell by December the 31st of this year, or by the end of the day, December the 31st, by midnight, will be melted down. That is the way the commemorative coin program works, and that is what the law requires, that the mint cannot sell them after that date, and they have to melt the rest of them down. And then at that point, let me back up a little bit here. What we have said previously, and I want to cover this just because I know it's confusing to people. What we have said, because it was originally what we were told, is that the National Federation of the Blind will get $10 from the sale of each coin. That was originally what we were told. Well, what the law actually says is that we're authorized to receive up to a $10 surcharge from the sale of each coin. Now, what the law also says, though, is that the mint has to recover its costs. So whatever the costs are in striking and producing and designing the coin, the mint has to recover the cost. So we don't start to get any money until the mint has recovered its costs. We guess that will happen around 200,000 or 250,000 coins sold. That will be the break-even point. We are not sure because the mint won't give us the exact number, and they may not even know themselves. But at this point, it looks like we are not quite at that break-even point yet, although we're close. And so as a result, we have not made any money off of this deal yet, or we may not have. And so it's critically important that all of the coins get sold, because we are going to get proceeds to the extent that we sell coins over and above whatever that break-even point is. So, or we'll get, you know, the full $10 surcharge. We may or may not get some money now, but it probably wouldn't be $10 per coin like we originally understood. So it's critically important that all of these coins get sold. So what we're doing is we're transitioning from simply promoting the coin to actually selling the coin. And what we're all doing, this is not something that the national office is asking the affiliates to do. It is something that we are all doing I'm doing it here in Maryland, and all the people who live here in Maryland, up to and including Dr. Maurer, are making an extra effort to sell coins. And so all of us across the country are going to become the sales force for the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar over the next 10 weeks, and try to sell 100,000 coins by November 1st. Now, 100,000 coins doesn't get us to 400,000 either, but hopefully what it does do is it gets the momentum started back again, because right now everything's flat. We probably sold 178,000 coins between March 26th and sometime in June. And the next 100,000 coins have been sold by drips and drabs over the past 2 months. So you can see that it's slowed down considerably. We were selling 1,000 coins a day. We're now selling maybe a few hundred a day. So, and probably less than that. So what does being the sales force mean? It means that we have to have coins in our hands and actually physically sell them to people. Because what's happening is, the people who will buy the coins just from hearing about them, or just from seeing them in the Mint catalog, or from the mailer that they got from the United States Mint, have probably already done so. So at this point, we have to be aggressive about going out, having coins in our pockets, and being able to tell people that we meet in our dentist office and in church and wherever it is that we might be about the Braille literacy crisis in America, and to say, you know, it's really important that you buy these coins, and show them the coin and say, look, this is a beautiful coin. You'll have this as a beautiful keepsake. It's a commemorative silver dollar, so its value will go up once the mint, once they're no longer available, and it will help to solve the literacy crisis in America, where 90% of blind children are not learning to read and write. They are not learning Braille, therefore many of them are functionally illiterate, and they are not graduating from high school or able to read and write as they progress through school. And this is a travesty. It is shocking. It is something that should shock American society. And, you know, you need to really lay it on the line as to how shocking this really is and tell your personal story. If you learned Braille early and have been very successful because of that, tell that story. If you haven't learned Braille and maybe have struggled because of that, or you learned Braille later, then you need to tell that story. Don't be afraid to tell your personal story. And then when they say, well, I'd like to see one of these coins and maybe buy one, have one handy to show to them, and if they want to buy it, sell it to them right there. Now, in order for that to work, of course, you've got to have coins in hand. What we are asking chapters and affiliates and individuals to do, if they can, is buy the coins directly from the U.S. Mint. That's what decreases the U.S. Mint's inventory and raises the sales figures. What you're then doing is reselling them and essentially reimbursing yourself or your own chapter or affiliate. But what you want to do is get the coins out of the mint's hands. Now, if you can't do that, or if you have a specific event coming up and you need coins right away, we do have them at the National Center. But those coins that we have at the National Center are already, they're already counted in the mint sales figures. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't increase the number of coins sold. It's just a transfer at that point. But you can get them from us. You can either buy them in boxes of 20 and with a $10 shipping charge on each box, or if you are a chapter and you really want to do this, but you really don't have the money, and I'm a chapter president myself, and we really don't have the money in our treasury right now. If you don't have the money in the treasury, you can contact Anne Marie Laney at the National Center and work out an agreement with her to have the coins loaned to you, and then you pay for them once they are sold. There is paperwork involved in that. We are actually, in order to keep track of this and in order to make it for real, we are going to ask for the chapter president's signature on a promissory note, and but then we will get these coins to you, and you can get them sold. So that's what we're trying to do. How do we get the coins sold? Well, we've got to take every conceivable opportunity to sell these coins. If you have a chapter or affiliate event coming up, sell them there. October is Meet the Blind Month. Your Meet the Blind Month event should be focused on Braille literacy and on the Braille coin this year. Sell them there. If you can get a table at a flea market, sell them there. If you can get your pastor to talk about the importance of Braille literacy at church and let you sell them there, do that. I say that because I know a pastor who's doing it. You know, nothing is too outrageous at this point. We've really got to get these things sold. And it's, you know, if you have a sports team in your community, sometimes they will let you sell things at the sports games. Here in Baltimore, we can sell things at Baltimore Orioles games, and they will even flash on the scoreboard that they can that people can come to our table and support the National Federation of the Blind. You may be able to do that with a sports franchise in your area. Investigate it. Check it out. If a church or is having a bazaar, do that. If there is a festival, I don't care what kind of festival it is, if they will let you set up a table, sell coins there. And as an individual, buy a few coins or take some from your affiliate or chapter inventory, carry them with you. The person next to you, on the plane, on the train, whatever, sell them a coin. Go door to door. If you don't sell coins that way, you might, but if you don't sell coins, you'll get donations, which will be equivalent to selling coins if you get enough donations, and will allow you to get more coins and sell more coins. I mean, literally, there's nothing that we shouldn't be willing to try at this point. The coins, when you purchase them, are $34 and $42. You know, sell them for $35, $40, and $45, whatever. You know, it's easier to do in nice round numbers, and then people will go ahead and give you the cash. Don't gouge people. Don't try to get $60 for them. But definitely go ahead and round up and, you know, do whatever you need to do to make the transaction easy so that people can go ahead and buy the coins. So those are just some of the suggestions. And I, you know, it seems like a daunting thing. But if you think about it, you know, we're trying to sell 100,000 coins in 10 weeks. We have 50,000 members. If each of us sold 2 coins, it would be done. And so we've really all got to try to make that individual effort and sell as many coins as we can, and also make that effort at the chapter and affiliate level. Go to your local civic clubs, Lions clubs especially. The Lions magazine just published an article about Braille literacy. Unfortunately, they only briefly mentioned the National Federation of the Blind, and they did not mention the coin. But they did an interview with Perkins School for the Blind. Perkins jumped on the Braille literacy bandwagon. They told him about the importance of Braille literacy and how it's declining. The article talks about Louis Braille's birthday being this year, Louis Braille's birthday, and so that's something you can use. We're going to make copies of that article at the national level. If you're in the Lions, you can make copies of it too. I've talked to the editor of the Lions magazine. He says all you have to do is make sure that any copies of it you have say on there that it came from the Lions magazine, and that you've reprinted it with permission. And if you do that, take those to the Lions Club with you and give a speech about Braille literacy and about the coin. Dump 10 coins out on the table and say, you know what, I'd really like to sell these 10 coins before we all get out of here this evening. And see if you can sell coins that way. The Lions will be particularly interested, but go to any civic club that's in your neighborhood. The Optimists, the Kiwanis, the Rotary, the Civitans, whatever you got. All of those organizations should be willing to assist. And they're always looking for speakers and programs. People do find this Braille literacy issue interesting. The media has found it interesting. So go to those clubs and make it clear that you want to talk about Braille literacy and that there's something that they can do to help. That's about all I have to say. I am, of course, here to answer any questions. And the national office is here to answer any questions and to make sure you get coins if you need them and if you can't get them directly from the U.S. Mint. So with that said, I'll turn it back over to Mike and to the rest of you guys, and we can talk about whatever needs to be talked about in terms of questions you have or suggestions you have. I got another thing to say, though, real quick. I just thought of this, that we also have, if you absolutely cannot sell coins or if you want to supplement what you're doing with coins, we have in our independence market business cards that have a picture of the coin and the web address to order it from. You can carry those around with you and hand them out if you run out of coins or if you don't have any coins to sell. What you can also do, what one of our members is doing, is every time she mails a letter, she puts one of these cards in it, even if it's a bill. And that's another thing that you can do. And you can get those from the independence market at the National Center. I think I've covered just about everything that I can think of at this point. But hopefully you've got some ideas about how you can eat this elephant one bite at a time.
No,
Chris, this is Maria. I was wondering.
Maria, can you hear me?
Yes.
I got one question, and then I'll let you in.
Okay.
Chris, on Anne-Marie Laney's loan program, do those coins come out of our inventory, or are they then ordered from the mint? Because it would only make sense to do that if you order the extra coins from the mint. Otherwise, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul at interest.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have an inventory at the National Center, and we might as well get those coins out of there. On the other hand, if we get enough of them out of there, we're going to have to go back to the mint anyway. And of course, when the coins are sold, we can then go back to the mint with the money from those coins and buy more. So it all comes down to the same thing. It depends too on how soon you need them. But, I don't know exactly how that process would work. It would probably depend on how fast you wanted them shipped out, and whether it would be easy. But, I mean, we do have an inventory. We might as well get them sold. But I can pretty much guarantee you that until all these things are sold, that money is going to go back into getting more, so that we can continue to sell more. And so eventually you're going to wind up going back to the mint anyway.
Yeah, that would make sense. If you did it that way, you could at least keep the momentum going, because at least for our quota, it's the coins that come directly from the mint that count. And so I guess it would what we're talking about is doing it in one step or two. I know that at least at the present time, I don't see any way to authorize our affiliate to buy coins in that. The only funding we get at the moment is a little bit from United Way, and we got one bequest, of which, of course, we did the usual half to national office. So we actually have very little money coming in. The demise of telemarketing has killed us, but we're continuing to work on it, and we earn money in dribs and drabs, and I may put it to our board of directors at some point. We've got part of the board of directors here already. Maria?
Yes, I just wondered, we can't round up the price any more than $10 or less if the mint has a price on them, on the coins.
Well, yeah, I mean, in other words, you don't want to be irrational about it, because people could go to the website and they could get them for less. So you don't want to be irrational about it. But what I'm saying to you is that, tell them 35 for an uncirculated rather than 33.95. Tell them 45 for a proof.
Okay.
Rather than 42. There's nothing wrong with that, because they're
paying a surcharge for getting it immediately, you see.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you order them from the National Center for anyway, you're going to pay a shipping charge anyway.
Right.
Even if you order from the Mint, now the surcharge from the Mint, the shipping charge is actually very small. They only charge you $4.95 for shipping, I think, and it doesn't matter how many coins are in the box. So, it matters. The only thing that makes a difference is how many boxes they have to send them to you in. But I got a box of 50 coins, and they only charged me $4.95 for the shipping, because they could get all 50 of them in one box. It's not that big. We're not trying to make money off this deal. I'm just saying that, in terms of the cash that people have on hand, if they're going to give you 220s, you might as well keep the 220s. You get a little reimbursement for your treasury or whatever that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not dishonest. That's not gouging people. Now, of course, if you were to try to sell them for $50 or $60, that would be asking too much of people.
Right.
Rate on eBay is a lot more than that.
It is, sir. It certainly is. That's because, people on eBay can do that because a lot of people will see them on eBay, they'll buy them on impulse, and they won't realize that the mint sells them for less. But again, we're not trying to make huge amounts of money off of this deal. We're just trying to get the coin sold. So, you know, we're trying to get them out of the mint's inventory, and the way that we're doing that is we're buying them and then reselling them. It's just a matter of, getting them out there. What I was saying is, you know, round up a little. I mean, you don't have to. You can tell people to give you $33.95 if you want.
No.
Okay,
and does the, I know there's a lot of flyers on braille.org, and I'm going to try to print some out. Do you have a suggestion as to which one we should print out?
It does not really matter. There's a lot of good material on braille.org, so whatever you prefer, go ahead and print it out. There is one, I think, that is just a basic fact sheet that says what is a Louis Braille bicentennial silver dollar. And that is pretty comprehensive, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Kyle here, one question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is the turnaround time if one was to order from the Mint?
Right now, I think it's only a few days. Now, you know, that may change. I don't know exactly how it works. When the coins first came out, they were back ordered almost immediately, and it was taking a couple of weeks to do it. But more recently, people have found that when they went to the Mint's website, they were able to be shipped within a few business days, you'd have them in one or two business days. When you go to usmint.gov and buy the coins, it will tell you how long, whether they're back ordered or not, and how long they expect for it to take to get them to you. Again, I don't think they're back ordered right now, but they're very clear on that on the website when you order. And they're very accurate. They're usually able to do what they tell you they're going to do. So I would not be concerned about that as long as you go to the website and you can see that it's not going to take very long for you to get them. Again, if you really need them faster, then you can come to the National Center and do it that way. Mm-hmm. But again, that doesn't get them out of the Mint's inventory. So
right. The
idea is to get them from the Mint, and the Mint is pretty good about telling you how long it's going to take. And right now, it's not taking that long at all.
Okay, and what is the URL for the Mint again?
It's usmint.gov.
Okay, thank you.
If you go to the NFP of Washington website, there's a link to it.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah, that's down about the third level one heading where it says make change for a dollar, and about the second link down from that is the U.S. Mint.
Yeah, I'm not a big web fan. I'm not a good web user.
Don't forget that you can also, this may even be better. Because you know, you'll be dealing with a live customer service representative, and they can also give you the exact information about how long it'll take to ship. You can also call 1-800-USA-MINT, and they will take care of you. Yeah, and they will take care of you over the telephone. I believe that's 1-800-872-6468.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes. USA Mint, exactly.
Super. That sounds like the way I want to go.
Now, I want to make sure everybody gets his or her oar in the water. Les, do you have any questions? Oh, what happened? Maybe he put his phone down. Oh, I bet he's muted. Chris, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Chris from Seattle. No, I don't have any questions. What I'm thinking is that considering what is in the Seattle chapter treasury, we could definitely commit to the purchase of 5 coins this week, possibly 10 if I can get my board on online. And I have access not only to a storefront but to a number of other events that are happening in the Port Orchard area. We have a family fun picnic happening this Saturday. I don't know, but it would be a place to at least have the display and a couple of coins. So I know that the Seattle chapter can do that much.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, go ahead, Les.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering, Mike, if we're gonna try to do our Meet the Blind Month thing at Borders, and I'm wondering if we could have possibly there's any way we could buy maybe 10 coins and to have there, maybe we could sell some there.
Well, I don't know if they'd allow it. I mean, that's up to you and the rest of the chapter members. But if they allow it.
I'll talk to them. I'll talk to Borders and see.
I could see that going either way. You know, Chris dealt with Borders, and then they kind of shut her out the second time around. So
it depends on
your persuasion power, I guess. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying it was Barnes & Noble that did that, and at least with Barnes & Noble, Barnes & Noble will not let you sell or solicit anything within the store. I don't know what Borders do, but I would not be surprised if it was similar. But, I mean, try it.
On the other hand, I don't see if you'd have a problem with either those business card and or be flyers either way.
Right. Well, Borders did say that we could sell our candy outside the store, so that may be what we'd have to do with that, too.
That may be the way to go. Walmarts will let you do that, too. And lots of people go in and out of a Walmart.
Wander around the parking lot and hit up all the RVs.
Exactly. we really got to be, I've been thinking a lot about this because I'm no salesman myself, but we've really got to be shameless about this, guys. This is important, and we've got a really narrow window of opportunity. We're probably not, or it's going to be a long time until we have the opportunity to raise this much money specifically for Braille literacy again. It's real important that this happen. And if you know about events that are coming up, and you feel like you could move a good many coins at that, then consider if you're a chapter, consider getting a loan of some coins. Or, you know what some people are doing? If you have the ingenuity to do this, I don't recommend, you can hand out the cards to people and maybe they'll go home and buy the coin. But I know what one affiliate president is doing is, if you have a laptop computer and you have a cell phone that can connect to the internet, you can connect to the internet virtually anywhere on your laptop. And so if you run out of coins, you can go to usmint.gov and take people's orders right there. If you can't do that, then print out, make up an order form and collect the information from people, including their credit card information, and then you can place those orders for them yourself. Really be aggressive about closing the deal, rather than just letting people say to you, oh, that sounds interesting. I'll do that when I get home, or whatever. Really try to close deals with people and actually put a coin in their hand or have an order placed for one before they leave you, because that's what we're really trying to do at this point. Like I said, the people that are motivated enough to go to the website and get these, a lot of those people have done so now. So we're trying to get the people who will, because they want to help with Braille literacy and because they're charitably motivated, we're trying to get the people who will impulse buy now. But, you know, we've got to get them while that impulse is still strong. If you're sitting next to somebody on a plane and you tell them about the coin and they say, oh, that sounds good, I think I'll get me one of those. Well, by the time the plane lands and they get their baggage and get home and have dinner and wash the dishes and put the kids to bed, they may or may not buy that coin. Or by the time they get their rental car and get to the hotel and check in and all of that stuff, or they may say, well, I won't do it while I'm on this trip. I'll do it when I get home. And then when they get home, there's some other reason that they can't do it. And, you know, it just never happens. So that's why, you know, that's why we're really pushing this idea of sell them to them on the spot, put them in their hands so that they walk away having bought a coin. And, of course, that way, you know, we're getting rid of coins. Again, where we're really getting rid of the coins is when you get them from the mint in the first instance, or when the National Center gets them from the mint, if we're loaning them to you or whatever. But by selling the coins, we're also creating this momentum, and we're reimbursing for those coins that we bought from the mint.
Okay, Chris, this is Kyle. One more question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, if I was to place an order from the Mint to have a stock on hand to go to Lions Club meeting or several events we have coming up, which version of the coin should I purchase? Should I go with the proof or the...
I would purchase a mix. Actually, I would purchase maybe, 10 proof and 10 uncirculated or whatever. Because, you know, some people are, the proof is cooler to show to people, because it's in a fancier case and it is, it's double struck and it's slightly higher quality silver. Not higher quality, but my understanding is what they do to the silver before they strike a proof is different. And so, I mean, silver is silver, but at the same time, and they double strike the coin, so it's a better quality. And so it's nicer to show to people because the proofs almost have a mirror shine to them. So they look very nice. And so when you're trying to sell a coin, it's a good idea to have a proof on hand. At the same time, if people don't want to, you know, don't necessarily want a proof, they want to pay a few dollars less, then those uncirculated ones will be fine. But what I would say is order some of each, and that way you can get both types of buyers.
Okay, the proof is the cheaper one, right?
No, the proof is the more expensive one.
Oh, okay.
The uncirculated is the cheaper.
More questions? Suggestions? Complaints?
This is Maria. I got some mixed, and I took one of each out of the package so the blind people could read it and see what, you know, feel what it was, and then I kept those two as a sample, and then I also had on hand the I didn't open only two, one of each, and then but I'm going to re-get some more and see what I can do.
I
would only open the ones that you're going to use as samples.
No,
you know,
no,
always
I
keep the ones you're
going to
sell in the box. Yeah.
No, I
only. I was even more strict. I opened only an uncirculated. I kept the proof in its.
Right. The proof. Our proof is still in its container.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll tell you this. You know, not that either approach is wrong, but they don't feel any different, and if the issue is showing them to blind guys, you might as well just show them an uncirculated.
I know.
And you can tell them what the difference is. because that's important, that's important for a blind person to know. But as far as showing them what the Braille feels like, you might want to open and uncirculate it and do that.
No, I'm not going to open any more of them. And then I'm
okay. Well, that's
Chris,
fine.
Okay.
Chris.
Yep.
Lawrence. No, the other. We got a Chris with a K and Chris with a C. Chris with a K.
Hey, I was thinking we should have a few on hand at least for the convention coming up the first weekend of October.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to, speak with Mr. Johnson, and he and I will conflab. I'm not unpatriotic, but I am extremely reluctant to outlay state funds at this point, seeing as we only have dribs and drabs coming in. I have no objection if you want to, let's round robin this via email on the board and see what people want to do.
Well, one of the other things you could do, and one of the things that's been suggested in our affiliate and that we're probably going to do is, get the people who can just contribute money to buy coins can do that. Some of us here in Maryland are thinking about just pooling resources and seeing how much money we can get together to buy coins for the affiliate. That may be something that you want to consider, because it's always an issue of, in our organization that sometimes a chapter or an affiliate doesn't have the money, and some individuals don't have a whole lot of money, but some individuals do have some money that they can dispose of. And while we're trying to do this effort, I can't think of a more worthwhile way than to contribute to the affiliate specifically or to the chapter specifically for the purpose of getting these coins. It's just something to think about. I mean, there are multiple ways that you can do this, and we're trying to provide as many ways to attack it as possible so that you can get the coins in hand and sell them. And of course, if once you sell them, you've either got money in your treasury or you've got money to get more with. That's really the idea.
Right. And I've got a couple, even if we don't make the full amount back, I've got a couple that I was actually thinking about giving one for the Sunday morning door prize instead of my traditional prize at the convention. But although whether people let me get away with that, I don't know. But I've got a couple of others here too, one of which I won. And I figure even if we made part of the money back, that would subsidize further purchases, like you said. But, we'll talk about it. I just want it understood I'm not necessarily anti. I just am, I think the only reason we're solvent is because I put my foot down and nobody liked it, including me. But anyway, imagination is the word here. I mean, I hate to be a terrible punster on this, but innovation is where we come out on this. And for me to be saying that is sort of interesting, but I do know that's inventiveness is the key to this at this point. But we can round robin this, and if the state, it doesn't amount to a whole lot, but I suppose I'd be willing to be persuaded with a couple of hundred or something, but we'll see. Other questions?
What about the tax and such like that? I mean, there's no tax on these, right? Nothing sales tax-wise when we're looking at that.
No.
So since they come from the government,
I know, that's what I was trying to think.
My understanding is there's no sales tax on them.
Oh, I was going to ask you, Chris, surely there are numismatists conventions. Have we decided or are they all gone by like ours convention has? Have we actually, we ought to put together a team and go to them.
We have been going to them. Whitman, which is a huge coin, has big coin conventions each year, has been really helpful to us in terms of letting us promote the coin at their conventions, and we have been doing that. Ryan Strunk was just at the American Numismatic Association convention, and so we have been doing that stuff. That said, you know, check for coin shows in your area, because you know that there may be local ones, and if there are, you want to be at those.
Yeah, my luck, it'll be in Wenatchee or something.
Well, that's it. If they're, you know, I'm going to take a day off and work and go to the fair, and I might just see what can be done there. I'll contact somebody tomorrow and find out. And I really appreciate you talking with us.
That's not a problem. It's my pleasure. We're all in this together and trying to get this done. And, you know, our role up over here in Baltimore is to help, the affiliates get it done and to do it ourselves. I mean, we're all doing this together.
Well, thank you very much. Are there any further questions or comments? Doesn't sound like it. Going once. Going twice. Nomination three times. Well,
I like your clock, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, isn't it? Go ahead.
What? You can get those at clockstyle.com.
Okay.
Yeah. They're Howard Miller clocks that chime, and they have a it's probably the best chime that I've ever heard, considering that it's an electric clock with a battery in it. You know, most of those don't really sound like old fashioned chime clocks at all, but this one kind of does. But anyway, do that after you've bought some coins. You know.
Does it talk?
No, it doesn't talk. You can set it, it will chime the hours as you set it, so as long as you set it on the hour, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Are there other questions once more? Okay, well, I appreciate everyone taking their time out. Let's put our Ganagans on and see if we can sell some coins. At this point, I will end the recording unless somebody has something they dearly want, Jedi, and anybody else is going to listen to this here. Okay, here we go.